I'm Robbie Ferguson, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. Europe has begun to roll out a data superhighway in orbit above the Earth. The first node in the network is a telecommunications satellite that was launched from Kazakhstan. It will use a laser to gather pictures of the planet taken by other spacecraft and then relay them back to the ground. One benefit will be to put information on natural disasters such as flooding, earthquakes, into the hands of emergency responders far faster than is previously possible. Currently, it can take hours to get the pictures down to Earth from observation satellites. Part of the reason of that, for that is because the spacecraft can only transmit when they are passing over a receiving dish. And in a 90-minute orbit, they only have about a 10-minute window. The European Space Agency's answer is to fire the pictures upward instead via a laser to another satellite much higher in the sky, and that one has a constant view of the ground station. The agency recently put up two Earth observers that are equipped with optical transmission equipment. These will now be able to offload their data through the new relay satellite, which is going to be positioned 36,000 kilometers above the equator at 9 degrees east. With a successful connection, data will move at a rate of up to 1.8 gigabits per second. Testing by Airbus Defence and Space shows it should be possible for the system to put pictures on the desk of the people who need them within 20 minutes of those images being acquired. A British firm that claims to have come up with a solution to the issue of bulk password theft has announced £1 million in funding to launch its product. SiliconSafe. They have designed a special box. It's a piece of hardware which stores passwords separate to the network. Last year, there were high-profile hacks from firms including TalkTalk, Ashley Madison, VTech, and all of those exposed millions of users' passwords. The founders of SiliconSafe, Dr. Will Harwood and Roger Gross, initially came up with the solution, dubbed Password Protect, as an academic exercise. They quickly saw that there was a commercial potential for their idea. Now, software is prone to bugs and flaws, so their first step was to design bespoke hardware, effectively hard-coding a chip, and making sure that it did not run an operating system or any other conventional software. And this design, the founders claim, makes it impenetrable via conventional attack routes. The box is designed to be secure and has only one purpose, specifically to store passwords. It runs on just 10,000 lines of code, far less than for a back-end database, for example, where passwords are normally stored. There is no conventional interface with the back-end systems, although it does allow web servers to send login credentials to the system in order to authenticate passwords, but it does not, in fact, at any point reveal those passwords. Dr. Harwood admits that hackers able to gain access to the back-end database of organizations could interrogate the box, but he has built in a safety feature. After just 4 attempts to authenticate the password, the account will be flagged and system administrators will be notified. The Cambridge startup remains confident in its solution, and last year it launched a hacker challenge inviting anyone to steal 100 unencrypted passwords from the system. To date, over 2.5 million attempts have been made, but none have been successful. Could it be the answer? It's like an endpoint piece of hardware for passwords. Kind of cool. And just to kind of understand how that could work, so how does it work, right? So when you create a password, you are sending your password to that box. And so now you've got an account, and the password says, okay, we've got Robbie's account. So next time I go to log in, my computer then again sends my password to that box in a secure way. The box now responds with a yes or no. It doesn't ever send back my password. So for somebody to exploit that, I mean, what could they possibly get? Because it's not responding with my password. It's not saying, oh yeah, your password is 1234. No, it's saying yay or nay. Is the one that you entered correct? So sounds like it could be pretty viable. Could be a good idea. We'll see. All right. A meeting of EU data watchdogs is set to have wide-ranging ramifications for the way businesses handle data. The EU forbids its citizens' personal data from being sent to places that don't guarantee adequate privacy protections. In order to avoid this restriction bogging down transfers to the U.S., it was decided that American firms could self-certify that information sent to their data centers so that it would be to confirm or at least to ensure or say that that data would be properly protected. The pact made it relatively easy for companies to send personal information from Europe to data centers in the U.S. for processing, but in light of information exposed by Edward Snowden, an Austrian privacy campaigner had asked Ireland's data regulators to audit what information Facebook might be sharing with the NSA. Well, it declined, citing safe harbor. But the matter was referred to the European Court of Justice. And last October, that court invalidated the decision to enable safe harbor. So regulators need to decide how to act in light of this decision, and lawmakers are still negotiating a replacement trade deal. But their determination could affect tech giants, including Google, Apple, Facebook, all these whose cloud services rely on such transfers, as well as thousands of smaller businesses who have outsourced payroll processing, for example, and other tasks to U.S.-based organizations. Maybe you use Amazon Cloud Services or something like that. Well, here's the thing. The data protection authorities are expected to make their views known tomorrow at the end of a two-day event, which is actually already underway. All right, more than 40 miles of roads in Coventry will be equipped with technology to aid autonomous vehicles, the government has announced. It's one of the eight projects aiming to develop driverless car technologies, which will receive a share of £20 million from the government's £100 million Intelligent Mobility Fund. Another of the projects will focus on driverless shuttles for the visually impaired. Now, that makes sense to me. So, you know, if you can't see and you still need to get around, kind of cool to have autonomous vehicles for that purpose. Autonomous vehicles are already being tested in a number of areas in the UK. Professor Paul Newman from the University of Oxford co-founded driverless car research company Oxbotica. Sounds like a bad guy. Oxbotica. Watch out for Oxbotica. All right, they are going to receive some of the new funding, but he says it's part of the strategy that the UK is unfolding to support the future of transport. The funding would support the testing and development of software for self-driving vehicles, and it's all about vehicles knowing where they are and what's around them. Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to the Category 5 TV Newsroom. If you've found a news story that you'd like to send, please email newsroom@category5.tv. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Robbie Ferguson.